Reading today, one of the most, I think, profound. And looking forward again to turning to the book of Acts on Wednesday nights. We've been looking at the book of Acts, and this particular reading is a profound reading regarding the responsibility and the example of the New Testament church. Carmel is going to come up now, and we'll be reading from Acts chapter 4. Verse 23 to the end. Thank you.
Our reading is coming from Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to the end, and it's on page 1044. I read, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed were his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all those who were possessors of the land or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, had land, sold it, and bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Here ends our reading for today.
Amen. Thank you, Carmel. I'm in verse 32, not 23. That's dyslexia, I think, coming in. It's a joy now to welcome our brother Philip. Philip, we thank God for you and for the team at Christians Against Poverty. May you have a sense of freedom as you bring God's word to us this morning. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you very much for your welcome. I did have a pink beaker of water on there. If I could have another colour, because it seems to have disappeared. So thank you very much. Anyway, so thank you for your welcome. I'm just going to give a few sort of, not notices, but a bit of details about literature I've got with me and explain about the forms on the seats that you probably discovered. So I'm a member of Mitcham Lane Baptist Church, which is, as I was saying to Ray earlier, exactly 3.5 miles from here, straight along Trinity Road, turn right by Tooting Common and you'll find us eventually. But we send greetings from our church to yours. Thank you very much. I think it's the same colour. Ooh. Right, okay. So it's a joy to be with you this morning, and my intention is to share with you the work of CAP, and how we've been involved, how I've been involved. But just to say beforehand, I'm going to leave you some of these flyers. If you know anyone in debt or struggling with debt, get them to ring this number. It's a free phone number, and it's in Bradford, which is where Christians Against Poverty, they're based. That's all the headquarters. They can also ring the same number for the CAP Job Clubs. If anyone's out of work and looking for work, as I'll explain, there are CAP job clubs. If anyone's struggling with addictions that you know, same number again, there are release groups which help people to deal with addictions, whatever they may be. And finally, there's a life skills course which helps people just manage life generally. And on top of all that, there is also a 3-week budget course that we run called CAP Money, helping people just to manage their finances. So lots of things, services that CAP provide, and I'm going to be hopefully sharing some of that this morning. Let's do this in the right order. So these forms, I'm going to explain about these forms later on in my talk, and we're going to watch a video at one point, and I'll explain what they're about. But if I just say right now, I'm not here to ask you for money. Okay, that's not why I'm here. But part of this talk is that if the Lord touches your heart and you want to respond in giving to CAP, then that'll be an opportunity. But I'm not here to twist your arm and say, come on, please give. Because you may well be giving to all sorts of charities or whatever you do individually or as a church. But part of my challenge from CAP is to share work of CAP and see if there is a response that individuals can make. But I'll talk about that shortly, because that form is linked to this book. So the point is, if you, as you say, if you sign the form, you'll get one of these. But it may be that we'll see how it goes. I've got plenty of copies, and it may be that you end up taking a book, but you haven't signed a form, but we'll talk about that later. And finally, this book is the story of CAP. So John Kirkby, the founder, 22 years ago this year, started Christians Against Poverty in his bedroom with £10. And finally, a book of testimonies from, it's called Journeys of Hope. What I suggest, I haven't got lots of copies of these, but these are free. If you take one, read it, and then pass it on to someone else so it goes round. I think I've got about a dozen copies. But that's just individuals telling their story of how they've been helped by CAP. So, that's all the notices. so the title of this talk is Make Space for the Poor. So if we could have the first... Oh, it's there. Brilliant. Thank you so much. So my name's Phil Stone, and I'm the centre manager at Mitchell Lane Baptist Church. So we run a debt centre, which means we meet people in their homes by invitation. So when someone rings this number, wherever they live in the UK, the new inquiries team take their postcode and they look for the nearest centre to the postcode and the first appointment within that catchment. So we cover three postcodes, SW16, 17 and CR4. So where our church is, if you know where our church is, don't worry if you don't, we're on the pivot of three postcodes. SW16 goes towards Brixton, SW17 comes towards Wandsworth, and CR4 goes towards Sutton and Croydon Way. When we started 7.5 years ago, we had five postcodes, and we found we were just overwhelmed with too many postcodes, densely populated. So we're down to three now, and to date we've had 277 referrals, and we've seen 55 people go debt-free, and we've seen about 15 people come to faith in Christ. So that's a little bit about me. I've been doing this in my retirement, and all I can say, it's been an amazing privilege, and I hope to share that with you this morning as we go through this talk together. So thank you, Ray, for your welcome, and thank you, all of you, for your, I do love the Caribbean style of worship. That's great. I've been to the Caribbean 9 times. Not St. Lucia, though. I've not been to St. Lucia. Been to Barbados, Jamaica, St. Kitts, Nevis, temporarily in Antigua, when we're sort of dropping down and taking off again. But I can recommend the Caribbean to anyone who hasn't been. We've got quite a few in our church who regularly encourage us to go back. But my wife suffers from quite bad arthritis now, so that will never happen unless we get one of these space travel, you know, we're sort of whisked away Star Trek-wise. Anyway, so if we could have the next slide, please. So Make Space for the Poor. This is what Christians Against Poverty is promoting. And we're going to go through some scriptures this morning together, because this isn't Christians Against Poverty saying, this is what we think and this is what we do. It's based on what God wants and how God can use us individually and together to make space for the poor. So this morning I want to speak to you from the Bible on how God's word, if we take it seriously, and I hope we do, demands that we make space for the poor in three ways: in your thinking and in your theology, in your treasure, and in your time at your table. I pray that at the end of this morning, your hearts be moved by God's compassion to care more about the poor, something we should all do. Be generous givers and share our resources with the poor. I pray that if you don't already, you would consider supporting the nationwide work of CAP with a regular monthly gift, something many of us can do. And finally, to act on behalf of the poor. The whole point of all of this, as I found out, I've been to court 7 times for bankruptcy with clients, and every single time as they get their bankruptcy order, I say, this is why we do this. If an individual wants to make themselves bankrupt, it's a horrendous process. Christians Against Poverty do all the paperwork. We turn up at court, and the clerks say, when they see it's Christians Against Poverty, they guarantee this will go well, because Christians Against Poverty's paperwork is far superior to any solicitor or any individual who may turn up at court. So it's all about standing up for the poor and acting on behalf of the poor. And whatever here may happen in the future, I pray that if it comes, you'll grab it. It's revolutionized our church. It's part of our DNA. It's all about, there are 2 of us doing visits. There's only 1 of me doing visits now, but the church was right behind us and is right behind us. And it's hard to put into words sometimes. You meet these people with all their mess, with all their stuff, the bags of unopened posts, the things that weigh them down. And you go in with hope, and you say the first things, or one of the first things we say is, there is a way out. And that's the most amazing message they can hear, because their bank manager won't tell them that, their credit card company won't tell them that, the payday lender won't tell them that. They just want the money. Okay, next slide, please. So, to make space for the poor in your thinking and theology. It's God's love and compassion for the poor, and also his challenge to us to care for the marginalized and downtrodden, is a constant thread weaved throughout all Scripture. From the law to the prophets, from the Psalms to the Apostle Paul, God is constantly urging us to care for, speak up for, and make space for the poor. People who are struggling to survive physically, emotionally, and spiritually, with no voice, no influence or power in our society. And if I just say at this point, the number of times I've been into homes and within 10 minutes they're telling me stuff which is nothing to do with the debts. It's domestic abuse. It's all sorts of stuff. And we can pray into that and we can support them. And the whole point is that Christians Against Poverty, based in Bradford, they do all the professional work, but we are the ones on the ground who meet up with these people and take away, hopefully, and share some of their stuff with them going forward. If you see how often it's mentioned in the Bible, it seems we need constant reminding. Just like any parent, God knew we would need instruction and urging to take the difficult path, to do the right thing, to put aside our own needs, to think of others. The reason for reading from Acts, because as Ray said, it typifies the early church. And in one version it says, there were no needy people among them. Next slide, please. We can only do the right thing if we think the right things. Behavior flows out of belief. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So today, let's allow God's word to renew our minds as we look at just a few of these God-given challenges to make space for the poor in our thinking and theology. We may think we know the reason God was so displeased with Sodom, but Ezekiel shines a different light on it. Next slide, please. If you could read that. Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore I did away with them as you have seen. It's a pretty hard challenge. If we don't help the poor and needy, we are in danger of being arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. The Psalms, Proverbs, and Prophets consistently inspire and challenge us to care for the poor. Next slide, please. Psalm 82, verse 3. Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. And Proverbs 21, 23. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. Next slide, please. This theme is carried on in Isaiah 58 when God says, you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. The Israelites were not living lives that reflected God's heart of compassion and care for the poor, so their praying, quiet times, and fasting were ignored. God says, this is what I really want you to do. This is what believing in me really looks like. Do this, then I'll listen to you. Next slide, please. Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? And the next slide, please. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. God is concerned for the poor. He's concerned for all of us, of course, but he has a heart for the poor and the marginalized. So it should come to as no surprise that Jesus chose the words of Isaiah 61 to announce his ministry and his mission. This was his inaugural speech, a summary of what his mission and purpose were all about. Next slide, please. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. As his children and Jesus' followers, we need to ask ourselves, is his mission our mission? Is it my mission? My purpose in life? Our purpose in life. To proclaim good news to the poor, because it's simply not enough to pray, come to church, and do the right things without looking after the poor. The next slide, please. James says in James 1, 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep yourself from being polluted by the world. So in that day, the widows and the orphans were the poor. It's a lot broader these days. It's not just the widows and the orphans. In Galatians 2, Paul was checking in with the apostles about the gospel he was preaching to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. After talking and discussing, they basically said, okay, carry on, but there's one thing, one piece of doctrine we want you to remember. So what was the one thing they asked Paul to never forget? The next slide, please. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do all along. So even Paul, talking to the elders, the leaders, checking what he should focus on, and they said, one thing, don't forget, one thing. Remember the poor. So let's make sure we remember the poor in our thinking and our theology. Out of right thinking, the right care and compassion and action will follow. The next slide, please. So make space for the poor in your treasure. When God was setting up the law for how his people should live, he made it very clear that he wanted us to make space for the poor with our treasure, our income, and what we own. Next slide, please. When you reap the harvest, in Leviticus 19, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. God spoke this instruction into an agricultural society. If people owned land, they would be growing food on it, whether it would be corn or vineyards. So God made it as relevant as possible for them. For these farmers, their produce was their income. They would have kept some of the food for themselves and sold the rest. But God says, don't do that. Leave the gleanings, leave the scraps, leave them there so those who are poor can just come and help themselves without having to pay for them. The next slide, please. So don't consume everything for yourself. That's really what God is saying, and I speak to myself in that. Don't go right to the edge of your financial field, reaping it all for yourself. Leave some space on the edges of all you earn and own to care for the poor. What out of your total income have you left for the poor? Make space in your finances and life for the poor. Make sure you have a plan in place to provide for the poor with your income. Now, the whole key to all of this is discovering where the poor are. And all I would say is, again, through the numerous visits I've done, getting on for 200, you meet these people. They may not say they're poor, they may not think they're poor, but they're vulnerable, they're struggling. And it's not just about whether we're rich or poor, it's about a lot of us maybe just somewhere in between. When we were being trained, John Kirkby said to us, don't think of these as bad people. The poor are not bad people. The poor, they may have made a wrong decision, they may be made redundant. There's all sorts of elements as to why they're poor, but don't judge them. So God wanted a certain behavior to care for the poor, and he gave them a system to do this, to leave a certain amount of the field unpicked so the poor could gather food. This system doesn't work in our context unless you own a field. Anybody here own a field? No, I don't own a field either. The context is different, but ensures we set aside some of our income and make space for the poor in our treasure. These days we have direct debits. Next slide, please. And finally, make space for the poor in our time and around our table. So we're making space for the poor in our thinking and our theology and in our treasure, because we've set up that direct debit to a Christian charity helping the poor in the UK. Is that enough? Is that all we need to do? Personally, I think making space for the poor in our time is the most challenging area in our time, poor, busy society. We're all so busy. Society is so busy. Everybody is so driven to work long hours, or have to work long hours, and have no time to think about the poor. The Samaritan only gave his money and income to help the poor beaten up guy beside the road. He also got involved and gave his time. He was on a business trip. He had places to go and people to see, and yet he stopped. And one of the things is very difficult in our society, and I speak personally here, it's very difficult to stop. Whether it's a homeless person on the street, whether it's someone you just notice is struggling. But we're so driven, we're going to go straight past. The Samaritan didn't do that. He stopped. He got involved in the mess. Getting involved with people who are poor and struggling is a mess. But we work in the mess with them. We say, we can help you sort out this mess. And it's a privilege to do that. Because for the first time, they're hearing someone saying, we can help. There is a way out. You don't have to carry on struggling with debt. There is a way forward. There is hope. We share the gospel Most of our clients, I would say, have actually been Christians. I better have some of this drink, having asked for it. But yes, majority of our clients have had a faith and have been totally embarrassed that as Christians, they're struggling with debt. But as again, we say, well, there is a way out, even for Christians to get out of debt. And my message to them every time is, well, the Lord wants you to sort out the mess, the debt, so that you can be in a better place and God can use you to bless others. So the Samaritan gave his time, he bandaged up the man, put him on his own donkey, and presumably would have meant a much slower trip. So Jesus calls us to make space for the poor at our table. The next slide, please. Jesus says to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers and sisters or your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. Next slide, please. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus is quite clear in this passage in Luke that we aren't simply to be friends with those who are like us. We are meant to include the poor in our lives, in our time, and around our table. So, how do we connect the church to hurting people? Those who are struggling, those who are impoverished, those who are out of work, those who are struggling with addiction. The next slide, please. This is where CAP steps in. Opening a CAP service is all about connecting God's people, his church, to people who are hurting and broken in our communities, people who we might not have met. And I would say, without exception, every single client we've ever met, we would never have met as a church. If we run a mission for a month, we would never have met them. But when they ring the number, they get an appointment. In my case, in my online diary, I ring them up to say, is that convenient? They say yes. I ring them up the day before. I say, is it okay? They say yes. And when I go in with a befriender, with a supporter for the first visit, I'm being welcomed in to their home by invitation. I've not knocked on the door. Excuse me, do you have any debt? I'm going in by invitation. I've spoken to the person first. This is a huge difference to some debt counselling charities and other ways for help to come to people. There are mums here in Wandsworth who have had to look their children in the eye and say there is nothing for tea. 2/3 of families miss meals before our help, 66% miss meals. People who are feeling written off and hopeless about being out of work, feeling utterly useless and embarrassed. Our job club members have been out of work for an average of 2.5 years. It's a long time to be out of work. And if they move on to benefit, that's another, I'm not going to talk about benefits. I could be here all day talking about the benefit system, which is so fragile and unhelpful at times. Anyway, that's another story. Dads who are waking up bleary-eyed, already knowing that today will be like all the others, held captive by that destructive habit, even though it's tearing their family apart. 1 in 7 drink more than they should, and if the amount of money lost in gambling was averaged out to every UK citizen, it would be £286. Every single one of us, if it's all averaged out, every one of us will be losing just under £300 through gambling. Today, people will be considering suicide because they can't see another way out of their debt situation. A shocking 38% of CAP's clients said they thought about suicide, as the only way out of debt before Cap stepped in. Jesus wants us to proclaim good news to the poor. We once were poor ourselves until someone led us to Christ, or we heard the gospel ourselves. This was Jesus' mission, and as Jesus' followers, it should also be ours to get involved in the mess, to roll our sleeves up and not just preach to them, not just talk at them, but get involved with them. To get involved in the mess and to get involved in people's lives. So many people who are isolated because of debt are lonely because they're not going out, they won't open the door, they won't answer the phone. We need to help practically as well as by caring and giving. So, what CAP does. The political think tank, the Center for Social Justice, named five pathways to poverty: severe debt, unemployment, addiction, family breakdown, and educational failure. Those five elements, not CAP, this is the Social Center for Social Justice. CAP is enabling the local church, and every single service that CAP runs is run through the local church, and not remotely in the community. For people who are crushed under the weight of debt, our 300 debt centres will lift the burden so they can breathe again. I just want to share one quick story with you. I met a couple, a Brazilian couple, lovely Christian couple, although the husband had only just come to faith. Two young children, they were living in one room with I use the word ensuite very loosely, a bathroom, which was a shower, and a toilet off the room. All their stuff was in bags around this room, which probably, I would say, about as big as from those shutters down here, not even that far. They were living in that room. They lived there for 2.5 years in temporary accommodation. 2.5 years later, I went with the wife to court in Croydon. And when the court, when the judge granted her bankruptcy order, she just wept. And she was a Christian, but she just wept with relief. Suddenly, this burden was lifted. For some people, bankruptcy is not an option, but for some, it's the best way out of debt, as we discovered. And when I last saw them, and I interviewed her at one of our anniversary services, they'd moved into a 3-bedroom house and were out of debt. A trained debt coach like myself and team of befrienders from one of our 300 partner churches will visit clients in their home, giving support and love, whilst our award-winning debt counselling teams in Bradford get to work on their behalf. Everyone in Bradford, they're all Christians, of course, but they're all professionally trained to do what they do, whether it's legally, insolvency, pure caseworkers, talking to the banks, credit card companies, on a daily basis. And Christians Against Poverty has a very high status now in the finance industry. Most of the lenders, if not all the lenders, will work with Christians Against Poverty. The judiciary system, they're fully aware of Christians Against Poverty because they know the integrity, the professionalism that CAP works with in dealing with people's debt. So CAP speak up for our clients by negotiating with their creditors to answer unfair interest, and charges are stopped or reduced, and affordable repayments are set up. We silence the constant phone calls, the endless demands, the relentless bills dropping through the door, and knocks from the bailiffs, or as they're now called, enforcement agents. The next slide, please. And it really works. 2,500 people go debt-free every year. 3 million is repaid or written off every month. 93% of our clients stay debt-free, and 82% still use a budget to stay in control of their money. The consequence of, we do 3 official visits, by the 3rd visit, they've got a budget, which they if they stick to it, they can be out of debt in a certain time. And as this says, many of them then learn how to budget going forward so they don't go back into debt, because that's critical. So Martin Lewis, you may be aware of him on TV, sings our praises, saying CAP are unsurpassed when it comes to debt help. The group of services that CAP runs for people who have been written off and out of work for years, there is hope through our CAP job clubs. For people who are prisoners to their dependence and addiction, freedom is waiting through our release groups. CAP life skills will give people the weapons to fight back in the grinding battle of low-income life. And for some people, it is a battle. It's a struggle, day by day. We might wake up in the morning and think, ooh, not a nice day, I think I'll just stay in bed. But for some people, they won't even get out of bed for any reason because they're struggling so badly. All 300 groups are set within one of our partner churches, providing people with friendship and love. Group members find people who care and will listen to their concerns. They find they're not alone. And this is another part of our sharing with them. We say, you're not the only one. So many people think they're the only one who is struggling, but we say they're not. There are thousands of people day by day, and hundreds are ringing CAP every single day to get an appointment. Our own time frame is normally 90 days, so I don't have appointments beyond 90 days, but my calendar, my diary is always full. I do one day a week, and I get 2 new clients a month maximum. So that's 24 clients a year, so that's 24 people plus spouses and whatever I meet every single year. I wouldn't have met them unless I was doing this. The next slide, please. So 38% of job club members have found work. There's one guy who was out of work for almost 14 years, and through working through a job club, he got work within a couple of months. And my take on that is that God is involved in the job clubs. I'm not saying he's not involved in the job centres, but the job clubs are linked to the job centres. So, and the Job Centre Plus work with CAP on a daily basis. 37% of release group members reach their freedom goal. And every year CAP brings good news to over 21,500 people living in UK poverty. Next slide, please. Salvation. Truly preaching good news to the poor has to include telling people about Jesus. And the great thing is, because we're not financed by government funding or any exterior funding, we're allowed to pray with our clients. I've had a Hindu client, I've had Muslims, and I've had Buddhist. And the amazing thing is, at a Christmas event, the Buddhist mum and the son made a commitment to Christ. So no one is excluded. No one is beyond redemption. And it's not just for Christians, clearly. It's for anyone who is struggling with debt. So being part of a church and a new community of friends and family eradicates loneliness and isolation. God sets the lonely in families. So last year we saw 1,054 people make commitment to Christ. We're now going to watch a short video, please. And this is just explains a little bit more about Make Space for the Poor. Thank you.
I just lost all hope, to be honest, that it wasn't going to happen for me. No one was going to help me, and I was doomed.
I did attempt suicide in the brinks of despair. I did I think for a year I just carried on drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking.
I counted the application, job applications one year, over 500 job applications.
I didn't want to be around my children. I just didn't want to live anymore. I couldn't see a way out.
I wanted to kill myself, so I took overdoses.
I had nothing really, and nothing to look forward to.
If I was very lucky, I'd wake up, it would be in my flat. If not, 9 times out of 10, it was in Durrington police station.
It becomes one big
blow. So
we had bailiffs at the door,
and you just don't care about literally anything.
I wanted my life gone.
The debts were so bad.
Say, why not the game jump?
I remember saying,
came about the release group because I contacted Kat and I said I had issues with addictions, especially around drink. Where the actual group was based was actually in a church, and yeah, I'll be honest, it might have been the fact I knew that I'd probably have something to eat there and a drink that got me through the door. The guy that ran it was brilliant, and through the weeks we looked at all different topics like anger, forgiveness, and it worked, and it did work for me. You know, since I found God, I don't, any situation I go into now, I believe he's there. I mean, he's here right now. Before the release group, I was drinking pretty much every weekend. So since the release group, yeah, not touched a drop.
I'd been out of work for a long period of time, and I thought I'd heard everything. So we did this interview session. I had a real interview the following day. Every question that we'd gone over was asked me again that day, and it was so easy. It was such a breeze, I was so relaxed. I believe that's one of the reasons that I got the job. And most of the people that I started with are good friends, and most of them have jobs. Since I've become involved with CAP, I became a Christian. Which I didn't expect. So a fantastic Lord's with us all the time. A wonderful life.
I went along to St John's and I met Emma, and I remember walking through St John's Church, and there was an instant connection. I felt absolutely at peace. I was frightened because I knew I had so much paperwork and debt. I didn't know what to expect or where to begin, to be honest with you. And she sat me down and she was absolutely so kind and just made me feel at ease. And we started our journey. I remember actually helping me with food as well that day, because I had no food. The bankruptcy was all filed and filled out at head office, which was amazing. It was in two packs. And one was for me and one was for the bankruptcy. And then we went up, Emma and I went up to the court. It was amazing. Just, you know, just the weight lifting. And today I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and I do believe this is God's will. And I feel that I've always had a hole in my soul and my life, but it's been fulfilled now. So I feel I have peace of mind and I feel quite content. You know, and I'm really grateful, really, really grateful for Christians Against Poverty, because without them, I wouldn't be here today.
I have a clean, sober life. I don't smoke anymore. I have my family back. I have a contact with my mum and dad that I've never had. We get on, we laugh about so much stuff, there's no arguments. And I believe that had I not made the decision of contacting Cap, probably would never have got that. So thank you, Cap.
Yeah, the Cap job's brilliant. There's something for everybody that's out of work. And since I got a job within the first month, absolutely fantastic. New life, new leaf, all systems go. I'm a Christian and I love it. I'm a happy Christian. So thanks a lot out there, all you people at CAP.
Since meeting Christians Against Poverty, I've found a faith which I'm truly grateful for. I'm debt free, I don't drink anymore. I've got my family back, I'm a nan. I worship every Sunday and I'm so happy to go forward for the rest of my life debt-free and happy, and for that I'm truly grateful. Would you consider giving £12 a month to Christians Against Poverty to change somebody's life like mine forever? Thank you.
And all I can say is when you help someone out of debt, it's not just the individual who benefits, it's the whole family. So we're back on the slides, thank you. The next bit of the next slide, please. So as I mentioned at the beginning, I do have copies of Nevertheless, the Story of CAP. And we'd like to offer you a free book. Nevertheless, it's filled with more inspirational stories like Stuart's, Paula's, and Tony's. It also tells of CAP's story through the eyes of its founder, John Kirkby. It's taken from his diary, so it's very raw and real and proves the faithfulness of God. And the reason it's called Nevertheless is because in the early days, there were so many people saying, it ain't going to work. Forget it. It's not really what God wants you to do. But he said, nevertheless, I'm going to carry on. And 22 years later, it's still growing day by day. So, the forms on your seats. Now, this is where I want to reassure you. I'm not asking you, the lady said if you can give £12 a month, I'm not saying you have to give £12. I mean, maybe you can't give anything. But the point is, I'm going to give you a couple of moments. If you can, give something. Let me just check. It can be as low as £5. So, but don't feel guilty if you can't do that. Okay, all I'm saying is if you can and you're able to fill a form out, I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes. There should be a pen with a form, and then I'll just sort of wrap things up shortly. Thank you. And if you do fill it in, it's important that you tick one of the boxes at the bottom, because we're regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority and we have to have your permission to send you stuff, whether it's by post or text or email, whatever. And if you are able to fill it in, if you give it to me afterwards, I'll be at the back, I'll give you a free book. But as I said at the very, very beginning, depending on what the response is, and I'm not looking around deliberately to say who's doing it and who's not, is if the Lord's touching your heart to do that and you're able to do that, that's fantastic. But if we, at the end of the day, we find we've got some spare copies of Nevertheless over, I'm not going to take them away. And you might say, well, why don't you just get them all away? Well, the point is, if some of you can respond and you know who that is, and don't worry if you're not one of those, because as I say, I'm not going to be counting up. God is in this. And if it's touching your heart, it's because he wants you possibly to do something. But don't worry if you're not getting that, or if you say, oh, I give to this, and this already. And I don't want to inflict on that. So by supporting CAP with a monthly donation, you'll be setting a system in place to ensure you've left space for the poor in your treasure and life. You'll be leaving space at the edges of your finances and your lives by giving to CAP. The next slide, please. And we're called, all those who give monthly are called life changers. CAP is primarily funded by thousands of Christians who give regularly to our work. And it's because of them we can not only serve the poor, but also ensure that we can keep Christ at the center of all we do. By becoming a life changer, you're allowing us to keep on talking about Jesus. The vision is to reach 1,000 services by the year 2021, so we can help anyone who calls us. And it's possible, maybe next slide please, if you are already a life changer, I'm not saying, but if you were, there's the opportunity to increase your giving if you want to this morning. So, thank you so much for welcoming me this morning. All I can do is say, if the Lord touches you as a church to be involved with CAP, it's an amazing privilege to meet people in their mess and say, there is a way out, we can help. So thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Philip, for that. So, we can also, if you want to take this and pray about that as well, it'd be a good thing to do. And as the Lord touches individuals, may God bless the work of CAP going forward as well. Thank you. We have been so reminded that this is pure Christianity. You want to be a Christian, pure Christianity is to care for the widows, to care for the orphans, to hear the cry of the poor, to liberate the poor. We are freedom fighters with a gospel and a sword, and we have a mission. Isn't that a great calling? And as we go forward, one of the ways we can do that is to contribute as well. So let's pray about it, let's think about it, and if you can, please feel free. Get stuck in. It's a fight, and we are freedom fighters. King of Kings, Majesty, let's stand together as we close the service this morning, as we recognize that we have a King that we represent, and that in representing Him, we have a cause. It is a struggle. What an amazing work is being done. And may God bless you, Phil and CAP, and all that you're doing. And may we see lives brought free, chains broken, and prisoners set free in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together.